define it. This is before when you define time to be time zero. So we could define time equals zero to be now, and in the case yesterday would be negative time. So that's fine. The only problem is going from positive time to negative time, going backwards in time. How do you do that? I don't know.
Sorry?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I don't have one. One strength.
Yeah, the constant depends on some other parameter, or it's just a bit of a constant.
Which?
Yeah.
It depends on. No, it just depends on these. It just depends on their combination. It is defined by. It is what is the square of the space hyperbola? It's defined by this function here. So it's just a function of those three things. So one strange thing this can actually lead you to. So time dilation length contraction seems a bit weird that time, you know, slows down, dilates, and length contracts, they shrink. And that can lead to what seem to be a number of paradoxical riddles. How many of you have heard of the twin paradox?
Okay, so most people. Okay, so you all know the twin paradox. Sorry. Okay, so we'll just. Okay, so you know the twin paradox, so I don't need to explain it further. So we still make sure we're talking about the same thing. You've got an Earth here, and one twin stays at home, and the other one gets on a rocket. This is one, and then they go at some light fraction of the speed of light, half the speed of light, three quarters of the speed of light, at some distant star here, and then they turn around and come back. And from the perspective of the person at home, the twin at home, then this person, throughout their journey, when they're going outwards, they're traveling very, very fast. So they'll see this person traveling in slow motion. There'll be time dilation. So from the frame of reference of the person staying at home on Earth, this person will, their time will be dilated, but it will slow down. And so they'll be in slow motion here, and then they turn around just very quickly, and then they'll come back, and they'll be in slow motion. And so what happens is that from the frame of reference of the person staying on Earth, you know, this person should be younger, but you say, well, there's actually no sort of third reference saying special relativity. So that is one interesting thing in Newtonian. Quantizing, there's absolute space, and there's absolute reference frame, and there's absolute motion. But in relativity, it's just relative motion. It's just, you can't say that you know, if the bus is moving away from you, it's just as valid to say that actually, the bus is still, and you're moving, and everything else in the world is moving away from the bus. And it's to say that you're still, and the bus is moving away from you. So it's kind of it's very democratic special relativity in that way. So we can look at things from the perspective of the traveling twin, and from that perspective, what happens? The entire Earth moves away and then comes back. And so can't the traveling twin say, well, then the Earth and the interstates of the planet Earth, they actually move away very quickly. So their time should be slowed down, their time should be late, so I should come back and actually see them younger and I should be older. But then, you know, the solution is with the acceleration. Okay. So does anyone remember what the solution is exactly? Yep.
Well, the problem with it is that one of them is not an inertial frame of reference.
Yep.
One of them has to accelerate, turn around, and go back to meet up again.
Yep. Yeah, exactly, and it's this one here. So they kind of switch between two different inertial frames. They change out of one, and so you can't just naively apply special relativity in that respect. And so what happens is then we actually have to take, so special relativity only applies to inertial frames.
I was just about to ask have you seen this derived, the result derived exactly? Because I kind of seen it somewhere in popular science, but
right.
I don't remember which one
yeah.
it was, and I was looking for this
yeah.
recently, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, Space-Time Physics by John Wheeler and Edwin Taylor derives it. Yeah, that's a good book.
I have heard that a
according to some theories, the universe might be have a curved space
for
the farthest distance you could see is the back of your head, and you
can yeah.
go around in circles. So couldn't then you go away and meet up back to the Earth without having to accelerate backwards?
And you would have to travel around the entire universe.
You'd still have to decelerate the game to stop.
So what you're saying, imagine the universe is, if it's like a circle or something, so you start at one end and you go right around and you come back.
You start actually having to accelerate.
Right, and what would happen if you come back?
You start moving if you don't accelerate.
No, you accelerate at the beginning, it's the same here.
Yeah. So you do have Ellen.
Even if you go around in a circle, you're still accelerated. Because
it's
the definition of acceleration is velocity, changing velocity over the change in time.
But I don't
so velocity is a vector. So you have changed direction, even if you're just going around in a circle.
It would still be possible to have. I think the correct answer is just that the curvature of space-time would somehow cause a change in the collapse, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was thinking because gravity, that's what I was thinking too, because this is a curved space-time, it's not what's called a flat space-time, and so gravity does actually, this would probably be curved for a reason, because there's just enough mass to keep space-time closed, and so that's where I was thinking too, that you have to deal with general relativity. This is a curved space time, so you have to go to general relativity to deal with that. And it would get, probably if it was just a uniform, so it wouldn't be too complicated, uniform curvature. Yes?
I wonder if you could close flat space.
Close flat space time,
you'd have to
like cylinder, okay. What would happen if you... That's a good question.
I think you'd have to embed that in a five-dimensional space-time. You can embed a four-dimensional space with the closed dimension, in four dimensions. It's going to have to be curved if you try to embed it in four dimensions.
You can't embed it in four dimensions, but it's still four-dimensional flat.
It won't be flat in four dimensions, though. If you attach four-dimensional coordinates to it, it's not going to be flat.
It won't be flat. It's like a piece of paper and roll it up.
I know. But you're embedding that in three-dimensional space.
Right.
Not using coordinates in three-dimensional space.
Maybe we could discuss this on the bus too.
This is
a good point. But you could, I have to actually think about that one because surely you think of a toy example where you have a space is just two dimensional, but it's like the surface of a cylinder. So it's flat, but it's
three-dimensional.
This is actually getting somewhat into the group project that we're doing with Dr. Shure. So we might get some answers.
Right, okay. Okay, we'll see how it goes. But that's an excellent question. I'm not quite sure I'll have to think about that one. But I think you could,
I think it's more correct to consider the acceleration, deceleration at the moment when the two twins split up.
Right.
Twin turns around, they'll come back.
When they
get together. Acceleration,
deceleration. Yeah, that's true. But normally that's not taken into account. Normally that's not taken into account because I think you can. You can probably make that so the effect is fairly minimal, I think, in terms of the aging in the process. You could either make it accelerate to happen over a very short amount of time to start, so they just go up in a rocket. You definitely would have to take it into account, but I'm not sure if it has a significant effect. I think it's mainly this effect here where they actually have to change direction. which happens when they change a lot. But this actually highlights a lot of paradoxes, and so I'd like to give you one hopefully you haven't seen, and see what you
I was just wondering, you know how the universe is expanding quite quickly, going around time quite quickly, and spinning around quite quickly. What would happen if you just sat in space and didn't move? Would you age really quickly?
Move relative to what?
You just stopped and everything zoomed past you.
You mean deep space?
Yeah. You didn't move and everything went past you.
Right.
Sort of like station.
Yeah. You would still age. I mean.
But would it be a lot more quickly then?
Well, I mean, it depends on which reference frame you're looking at. But yeah. But I'd say also said that gravity slows down time. So if you're out in deep space and there's very little gravity, then you're actually aging faster.
Could you
finish
space and physics
by Wheeler? Okay, so we have this is a paradox related to length and traction. And we have it's called the skateboard and the hole. So we have the skateboard here and it's skating along like this, and there's a hole here. And so the skateboard is, 50 centimeters. So that's in the rest frame. So that's when you're at rest relative to the skateboard. You can measure it to be 50 centimeters. And let's say the hole is, let's say it's, it's 50, let's make it a meter, so let's make it a meter wide, like this, and so see what happens, and so imagine you're very, very good skateboarder, and let's say you're skateboarding at something like 99.99% of the speed of light, so a little bit unrealistic, but this is theoretical physics institute, so we're allowed to do that. So perspective one from the skateboard. So the skateboard can, like any other inertial observer, can consider himself or herself to be stationary. So the skateboard can think, I'm stationary. So what will happen is the hole is moving towards me, it's rushing towards me at 99% of the speed of light, and so the rest of the ground is. And so what happens, as it's moving very quickly towards me, it will length contract, and I think if I've done the numbers right, the Lorentz factor should be greater than 2 there. I'm pretty sure it is. And so what should happen, so the skateboard in that case, so from the skateboard's perspective, the hole will kind of to be just very, very narrow, and because it's length contracted, so there's just no way for the skateboard to sort of fall through the hole. So it's not wide enough for it to fall through. But from the other perspective, from the hole, what happens is, the skateboard is already too small, so small that it can't get across, it will fall through, but it will even contract even more, or become shorter, and so we see this tiny, tiny, very, very narrow skateboard, and the hole is not moving relative to the hole, so the hole just sees itself as a meter and a small skateboard. And still spinning towards at the same speed. And so there's definitely enough room for the entire skateboard just to fall down the hole, but there's not in this case. And so the question is, what happens, which perspective is right? What happens to the skateboard when it gets to the hole and just before it gets to the hole? This is kind of nice. Okay. So what? So maybe I might just give that to you as a problem to think about now, and maybe we'll go through the answer tomorrow. Okay. You want to watch that?
I say
thumbs up.
Sorry, thumbs up before it hits the crossbow.
So with that, okay. Have you anyone heard of the paradox of Barnum Hole? Well, maybe it's got a different name, but so when you have a you have a barn or a building and a pole, and we actually just look at the a pole or a rod or a stick, whatever you want to call it, and it's meant to be a barn. You've got animals. So let me just make sure I've got that right. So, yeah, that's right. So maybe it's 5 minutes wide. You have a very, very long pole or stick or whatever you want to call it, and it's a big tree trunk. Imagine it. So it's a big tree trunk. It might be 7 meters long. And so the question is there any way you actually fit the entire pole or tree trunk or stick or whatever you have inside the barn and close the door? And without breaking or getting a chainsaw or anything like that. And feel free to get stuck. Can anyone think of a way of doing that? Sorry?
House extensions.
Without house
barn extensions.
You're gone.
Okay, Peter.
Well, if you accelerate the pole very quickly, then due to
length
contraction. It gets smaller, but the minute you stick it inside of the barrel and stop it, then it expands again and goes very too fast.
Yeah, that's true. And it length contracts according to which reference frame? Yep, exactly. So from the point of view of the barn, we have barns 5 meters, and I think we got something like maybe 2/3 of the speed of light or 3/4 of the speed of light. Then what happens is the gamma factor is about a factor of 2, and so this will shrink down to maybe 3.5 meters. And so the pole is short, and so this is all from the perspective of the reference frame of the barn. So we have this short pole, 3.5 meters fits into 5 meters, so we've got 1.5 meter gap, so we've got room to play with, and then we can shut it. But of course, this is moving at 3/4 of the speed of light, or whatever speed it is. And so, don't close the front door, yeah. So there are a number of ways to do it. Either you can have it like this and it just crashes through the back door or the wall, or if you can actually have someone here that's just very, very, very quick, and so it can be in, and then someone just quickly opens the front door, so you can actually fit all of it in and close the entire one. But the interesting thing is, from the perspective of the pole, this gets kind of weird. Then the pole thinks, well, I'm stationary, I can do that. It's just as valid, equally as valid for it to do that. So it can say, I'm not length contracting, I'm still 7 meters in length. So it's a bit weird that observers can disagree on length, but special relativity says that that's okay. And so what happens is the barn might length contract to maybe 1.75 meters, and So there's just no way you can fit a 7 meter pole or a 7 meter stick into a 1.5, 7.5 big barn. I guess that's a, and so there's no way you can actually do that. So this is, and so the paradox comes into it, this is kind of weird, because when we say from the point of view of the barn, that we can close the doors and at the same time we can fit the pole inside, but from the point of view of the stick or the pole, then we can't do that. So who's right? Is the barn right or is the pole right?
Because the barn is there for
the barn. Simon, yeah.
Well, either way, if it decides the barn is in the wash. Because if you close the front door from the point of view of the barn, mm-hmm. you'll bring in the stick, and then let's go down the over and see the track and smash through the wall.
Yep.
From the point of view of the pole, it comes into the barn and it smashes through the wall.
Yep. Did William get?
Well, the two ends of the end of the pole getting into the barn, so you close the door, and the other end of the pole, either hitting the end or leaving if you open another door, are related by a space like interval.
Yep.
And you can't say which happens first.
Yep, absolutely. So this brings on to something else I was going to talk about, that sometimes, just as observers in relativity, they disagree about what the length of something is and how long something took to occur. They can also disagree about whether two events choose certain types of events, whether they occur at the same time, or whether one happened before the other one, or the other one happened, or they happened the reverse way around. And so, as we've said, these are what are called space-like separate events, which I'll explain in a minute, and that's again the concept of relativity of simultaneity. And so it might seem kind of weird, just in relativity, it seems that, it seems that everyone's disagreeing with each other, but everyone's equally right. It seems like some, I don't know, hippie new wave thing, that everyone's right. But it's not quite like that. For two reasons. First of all, with certain things like length, time, and which of two events, which are two certain types of events happen before each other, they are relative, and they can actually, people can disagree on those, and everything's fine. But at relativity, it's a scientific theory, so there's an absolute bedrock. There's actually fact of the matter about things. And the space-time interval, like, even though people are disagreeing on the length and the time, every observer is disagreeing on agrees on the space-time interval, this delta S that we came across before. And if each of those two, and they're all agreeing on the fact of what events happen. So we'll look in a minute at, probably tomorrow, at space and time diagrams, space-time diagrams, and all observers, everyone agrees actually on what happens. There's a consistent picture. And so Einstein actually wanted to call this theory not the theory of relativity, but the theory of invariance, because even though you have these things that are relative, at the bottom you do have this bedrock, you do have this this truth. And kind of the one way of looking at why people can disagree on length, but everything is okay, and it's exactly the same reason why you and I can disagree on which direction is left and which direction is up and down. There's no problem. So the directions left and right, they're relative to where we're facing. So if I get the older point to where left is now, it'll all kind of point over that side of the room. But for me, I'm facing the opposite direction to you, and so left is that way. And so we might get into a fight, and you might say, well, you know, left is that way, and I might say, well, no, it's that way. But we know that's kind of a pretty silly fight to get into, because it's just depending on what, you know, orientation or direction you're facing, left and right is different. So left and right are relative to your perspective or what orientation you have. And it's exactly the same thing in relativity. It's just that length and time are relative to your perspective. But space-time interval and what events actually happen or don't happen is absolute. So getting back to William's point, what happens in this case, we cannot break the barn, because we can get, from the perspective of the barn, get the pole inside, the pole's length and track shorter, we can close the front door. How much time have we got?
2 minutes.
Okay. We can close the front door here. We've got 1.5 2.5 meters for the plate, for space, and just before the front end of the pole or stick is just about to hit and smash through the front wall, what we can do is we're going to have someone who can open up a door here, so we have a gap like this, and then the barn or the pole can actually sail out the other end. So what we can have is the pole completely inside the barn from this point of view, and we can close the door. But it turns out what happens is if we actually look at, what do we need to... if we look at I think this is...
There is a moment which the doors are closed and the barn all is inside the reference frame of the barn.
Yeah, that's right.
But when Paul looks at it, there is not such a moment that it's inside.
Yeah. Yeah, because if we look at in the reference frame of the barn, these two events, the front end of the pole reaching this front wall here, this wall here, and the pole and shutting the back door, if we shut it just at the instant, the pole gets passed, these two events are having this door shut while when the pole just the front end just gets to the front door, they actually occur at the same time if we time it right. So we can actually just get these two events occurring at the same time in this reference frame, and just interpolating between them, they mean that you can get in the barn's reference frame the pole inside completely. Yes?
Alright, so what if the pole were stopped really short? Would it in fact grow back to its original size?
Yep, it does. So if it slows down relative to the barn, then as it slows down, the barn's perspective, it grows back, it expands back. So
you really can't wrap the ball in the barn.
As long as it stays moving, for there's a split second in the reference frame of the barn where you can have it completely in and. And it's fine.
But in the reference of the ball, you can't.
And this is exactly the reason that William was saying before. That's because just that you might think, according to Newton, if you have two events, two things, and they happen at exactly the same time compared to one perspective, to one reference frame, then they happen exactly the same time in all reference frames from all perspectives. And that's because there's this sort of absolute space and absolute time, it's absolute reference frame. But in Newton, but Einstein said no, so from the point of view of the barn, the pole, what happens is, what will happen is just as the front end gets to here, this door will open like this, and so the pole will, so if we have a sequence of events, then the other end will be out, this door will open, and so we'll have the short pole, the door will be open, the pole will be going through, and at some later time, just when when the end has passed and the front end, the rear end has passed and the front end has well and truly passed this got and this door, then we'll actually what happens is the pole actually sees the rear door or this door here being closed. And so as from the point of view of the barn, what happens, it was like it was sort of open, closed, front door, rear door sort of exactly the same time, and from the point of view of the pole, it's the front door opens, or this door, the front, we call this front door opens to allow you to get the other end of the pole out, and then later on the rear door shuts like this, so to actually close it in. And so two events that occur at exactly the same time, the reference frame and the barn, they occur at different times, it's one and then another. And so, yes, Julian.
What if you had the pole in like a centrifuge? Then
if you had
like a pole
in centrifuge, you've got acceleration.
Yeah, so then, but then it'd be moving like really fast, right? So it'd be able to keep up, like from the barn's perspective, the pole would still be shrunk and you could close both doors.
So often you have to be really careful about these things. So what's the barn doing while the pole is leaving the centrifuge?
Like from the pole's perspective?
Oh, from, yeah, what's
the barn? The barn is one of the doors open, right? And the pole's spinning around really fast. So from the barn's perspective, the pole is straight edge.
So you
general relativity.
But also length contraction is in the direction of motion too.
Right.
So that if you spin it around, it'll get shrunk. But
yeah.
It won't get any shorter.
So you thought so you mean you're moving the barn the pole in exactly the same way. But you're spinning around as well? Julian?
Yeah.
So what's your thought experiment?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. So maybe that's another one for the bus. Lisa?
Oh, say back door is on the hinge.
Yep.
So you put the pole inside and you brush shut the back door while the pole's inside.
Yep.
It's still sort of like, you know, moving and stuff.
Yep.
You would have to shut the door at the end of the big light.
Need the speed of light to
yeah.
to actually
to like have a shot before the pole starts expanding or
It depends on the circumstances, but if you only have a little bit of leeway, so there's only a small gap like a meter or two and there's only that much space in the reference frame for the barn, you have to have some mechanism for closing the door fairly quickly. So yeah, you do have to do it, because it'll cover that gap in something like a nanosecond or something like that. So that would be the order of time that you'd have to close the door, either by a hinge or you could just have a door that moves vertically down. But of course, a door is like any other object, you can't shut it faster than the speed of light.
But it would have to be near the speed of light, like really, really fast, if it were on a hinge.
I think it would be, because because to shut, there'd be points, I mean, different parts, if you have a door swinging different parts that are further away from the axis, or the hinge move at different speeds, but certainly the outer part has to get near to here, in a very small amount of time, it'd be something like the order of a nanosecond, so it has, the outer parts would have to move very quickly. But of course, there's no physical way for them to move faster than.
But if you had it like that,
it would have been
door shrink and
lock shut.
Oh, it's
not. If you're turning it in the
circle,
it's going to be accelerating itself.
Yeah.
It's outside of special relativity.
A door is not important then. It's just passing through the door.
That's true. Okay. So what's happening? Okay. Unfortunately, we'll have to end it now. Because what we need to make sure is that we're on the bus by 11:30. Wait, and if you could just be quiet.
One quick thing, guys, you're gonna have to move to the line pretty efficiently because you only have 15 minutes to get through. So I just want to make sure that there's no fidelity and you can move to the line. So you know.
That's right.
I didn't
Or would it be as if, or would it be as if it would, I mean, it should be having some
issue. Oh, yes, Nathan. Sorry. You could describe five of the modifiers. If I have some shadow already, you can do that.
Okay.
No, because from the point of view